tension within Save Venice, between the chairman and the president, had been mounting for the last 2 years, since 1995. The first outward sign of it was so slight that few people even noticed. Bob Guthrie's name, as president, had appeared for the first time above Larry Lovett's at the top of a list of the Save Venice board of directors in a glossy journal put out by Save Venice and edited by Bob Guthrie. This sudden reversal of the pecking order had come as an unpleasant surprise to Lovett. The roots of this burgeoning quarrel could be traced to the early 1960s, before the two men had ever met, when a retired American Army colonel was overheard at a reception in Rome speculating that it might be possible to stabilize the Leaning Tower of Pisa by freezing the subsoil under it. The man doing the talking was Colonel James A. Gray. The person who overheard him was Italy's Superintendent of Fine Arts and Antiquities. The superintendent told the colonel that his idea of freezing the ground under the Tower of Pisa was ingenious and might be attempted if it was found to be viable. Gray went off to do research. Although the tower was eventually stabilized another way, Colonel Gray's investigation turned him into a passionate advocate for preserving the world's great art and architecture. Upon making inquiries, he found there was no private, non-profit organization doing this kind of work. So in 1965, he created one. He called it the International Fund for Monuments, and he ran it from his apartment in the National Arts Club on Gramercy Park in New York. 20 years later, much expanded, Colonel Gray's organization would be renamed the World Monuments Fund. Gray's selection of projects was a bit whimsical and far-flung. Conservation of the mysterious stone heads on Easter Island and 12th-century stone churches carved into hillsides in Ethiopia. Then, on November 4, 1966, a combination of constant rain, strong winds, and seismic rumbling under the Adriatic seabed created exceptionally high tides that caused flooding across northern Italy and put Venice under 5 feet of water for more than 24 hours. In the immediate aftermath of the flood, most of the attention went to Florence, where the Arno had overflowed its banks by more than 20 feet, killing 90 people and damaging or destroying thousands of works of art. Art lovers around the world formed committees to send aid and assistance. In the United States, the Committee to Rescue Italian Art was established, with Jacqueline Kennedy as its honorary president. As for Venice, although no one had died and very little art had been damaged, it soon became evident that the situation was fundamentally worse than in Florence. Venice had been built on millions of wooden pilings driven into the muck at the bottom of the lagoon. Over the course of centuries, as the city settled into the earth and the sea level rose, the foundations became unstable. When experts took a closer look at Venice, they discovered that most of its buildings and almost all of its works of art were in desperate condition, owing to 2 centuries of neglect following the city's defeat by Napoleon. Paintings all around the city had become soot-blackened, moldy, and brittle. Many of the most important were housed in churches where they were unprotected from the elements because of holes in the roofs. At the same time, a great many buildings had eroding foundations and crumbling facades. It was a common hazard for chunks of walls, bricks, slabs of marble, cornices, and other decorative elements to come crashing down from on high. The whole eastern wall of the Gesuiti church was in danger of falling into an adjacent canal. After part of a marble angel fell from a parapet of the ornate but sadly dilapidated Santa Maria della Salute church, Arrigo Cipriani, the owner of Harry's Bar, posted a sign outside the church warning, "Beware of falling angels."